Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are proud to be your flagship station for New York sports for 33 years and counting. Through the years, we've brought you some of the biggest games in town, including the Rangers' 1994 Stanley Cup Championship, New York Giants Super Bowls, and every Super Bowl beginning with Super Bowl 22, Yankees and Mets World Series appearances, and so much more. And our pledge is to continue to bring you the best games in town for many more years to come, along with New York Sports Talk. And today and tomorrow, keep it here for many surprises, along with the return of some of your favorite WFAN hosts. Check out WFAN.com for our complete schedule. The fireworks this 4th of July weekend happen on Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN FM, New York, a radio.com sports station.
WFAN Sports Flash.
Good evening at 6 o'clock. I'm Ian Eagle. Frightening moment in the Bronx this afternoon as the Yankees held their first official day of summer camp. Masahiro Tanaka immediately collapsed after being hit in the head by a line drive from Giancarlo Stanton. Tanaka laid on the mound motionless for a few minutes before being helped off and into the dugout. No update on Tanaka's status. He is headed to New York Presbyterian Hospital for further evaluation and testing. Big announcement from Dodgers ace David Price, who tweeted today he's decided to opt out of playing this season, citing health concerns for him and his family. Last night, baseball announced 38 of the 3,185 players and staff swabbed came back positive in the first wave of testing for COVID-19. That includes 31 players, four from the Braves. Atlanta first baseman Freddie Freeman, who is currently battling a fever, the Braves say it could be a while before Freeman returns. The Cleveland Indians released a statement saying they'll review changing the team's long-debated nickname as pressure to correct racial injustice mounts. The Indians, who've been called that since 1915, made the announcement just hours after the Redskins agreed to discuss changing their team name amid pressure from sponsors. Looks like there's a good chance the NFL may skip the preseason, according to reports. The NFL Players Association voted to recommend canceling preseason games altogether to limit exposure as cases of the coronavirus continue to surge. The NBA released its scrimmage schedule ahead of the July 30th restart. All 22 teams will play in three scrimmages apiece. The Nets start things off playing the Pelicans on Wednesday, July 22nd. And Joey Chestnut broke his own record to win this year's Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. He chowed down a world record 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes to win the mustard yellow belt for the 13th time in 14 years. One side note, I've never had mustard. Bikes battle COVID-19, the Long Island Bike Challenge, Sunday, August 2nd. Bike across Long Island to beat COVID-19. For more information and to register, go to lichallenge.org. That's lichallenge.org. It's 82 degrees under partly sunny skies in Central Park. And that's what's happening. I'm Ian Eagle with Sports Flashes at the top of the hour on Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. Listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app and favorite us today. And if you have a smart speaker, just say play WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports.
Sports Radio 66.
And that's why he is who he is, as a matter of fact.
Like riding a bike.
Hey, yeah, you're hired, okay? Hey. Oh, God, that's
what
tremendous.
What did they say to Robert Evans back in the day? Hey, kid, you got a place in the show. Give the kid the point.
Oh, my God.
How
you
know,
Dave, some people, like, started slow at FAN, and then other people just zoomed right by us, okay?
He was just an intern the other day. Holy mackerel. Ian Eagle joining us here. Dave Sims, Ed Coleman here at FAN.
What's up, Ian?
Oh, Eddie C., Simsy, happy anniversary. It's just,
yeah,
it's
man,
great to hear
you.
Your voices. Great to hear you guys together.
I know. That's
thanks,
fun.
Man.
So great to hear yours, too. We hear it all the time, but I never get sick of it. I really don't. No matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter.
You do a first class
job in everything you do, and even in updates, as a matter of fact.
Man, I tell you what, nailed it.
The first chance I got to do updates was September of 1991, and Stan Martin, the late great Stan Martin, sports director.
Yeah.
He would make the schedule, as you guys know, in the newsroom setup. The way things were formatted, he was at the front of the room, and then we had the cubicles around him. And he would get on the phone, and you'd have no idea. He was so dramatic in such a lovable way. So people would call in, and he'd pick up the phone. Hello? What? No! Really? Yeah. No!
He's right out of Central Casting.
Yeah. So I got a chance to do updates because somebody had called in sick. And I was thrown into it on a September Sunday, and I remember that feeling of that first update, like everything you dream of, the chance that you get at this radio station that was already carving out this incredible niche, and the adrenaline rush just doing the one update on a September football Sunday, and I still feel it today. It's that same feeling when you come on the air. It's exhilarating.
Yeah, I didn't need coffee today. I was fired up to get to do this again. I remember, we used to have really cool conversations about doing play-by-play when I started doing Temple University football in 1990.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we'd compare notes and talk about different philosophies and talk about other announcers that you like and guys you grew up with. And I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, the radio station for me. Remember, Eddie was there early on. Dave, you came along very quickly.
Down at NBC, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and I was 18 years old when the radio station was hatched. Wow. So to think. At that moment, my dream was to be on the air, was to be talking sports, and this radio station comes out of nowhere in New York, in my hometown. I'm at Syracuse University. I get the chance to intern there in the summer of 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before we could do anything in terms of the internet. You couldn't possibly know what was going on. You didn't even know what guys looked like. Like that was a big deal when I saw Steve Summers for the first time. Like, Weird Al Yankovic? What is going on here?
Good
so
call.
It was eye-opening, and it was such an incredible experience. I walked away from that summer feeling as if this religious experience had taken place, that I had this knowledge now that I would carry with me, and only to come back and work there in a behind-the-scenes role. It was like graduate school, and being around you guys, and being around Mike and Chris and Howie Rose and Steve, it really was invaluable as I look back on it.
When you were, when you turned teenager, let's put it that way, Bert, who was your gold standard? Who did you listen to? Who did you like? Who did you want to maybe emulate?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. In that time period, New York was set up that there were a few guys that were doing so many of the events. And it was Marv that was really dominating. He was doing the Knicks. He was doing the Rangers. He was doing WNBC. He would pop up on the weekends doing boxing.
Sure.
Yeah, hosting baseball pre- and post-game. So if you are of a certain age, and I know that, look, most New York broadcasters will tell you that Marv Albert was the inspiration.
Sure.
But during that time, during that very important time when you're forming your opinions as a young guy and trying to figure out what the next step will be. It was Marv Albert. It was him, and then everybody else was behind him. But yeah, I really enjoyed Jim Karbelas when he was doing Knicks radio.
Sure.
Simsy then started filling in and backing up on Knicks radio. So he started on the play-by-play side with basketball, and I remember that having a big impact because this was a new style and different. And I realized that not everybody is cookie cutter. I think what ends up happening, especially for those in New York, you end up just doing a Marv Albert impression for the first 2 years. Like, you don't even realize it. I looking back at my tapes, I was like, yes. A lot of that.
Guilty is charged. Let's jump ahead, Nat. You're doing, let's see, NFL on CBS. You got college hoops. You got the Nets. And the NBA is about to fire up in a couple of weeks. What's your position on all that? I mean, what involvement do you have?
Yeah, so on a personal side, there's a very good chance I could be down there. It's not official yet, but there is a possibility that I would be a part of it in Orlando. Obviously, there are still Nets duties with Yes, but Turner will have a role, ESPN, ABC. Mike Breen, of course, will have a role. So I might be juggling a little bit. What the NBA is doing is certainly ambitious. They really looked at everything. So all of the stories that you heard that popped up over the course of a month leading up to their announcement, those were all real. Everything was on the table. They realized that they had to consider all options in order to move forward. And it hasn't been smooth sailing. There are going to be bumps here. They knew that. Their goal is to get everybody down there, get them into a controlled environment,
right,
and they feel very confident about their plan. Now, look, we all know this. This is a mystery with each day. It's changing. It's shifting. So I can't tell you definitively everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to work out like clockwork. But I do know the NBA has basically looked at every possibility and tried to answer questions before they even pop up. But the reason why this didn't happen right away, the reason why this isn't happening until late July in earnest, July 30th, is they needed time. They needed time to get everybody down there. They needed time to get a baseline of where everybody stood and then take action from there. But we're going to hear about more positive tests, and it's not going to be without hurdles here over the next few weeks.
Are you the only healthy member of the Nets organization at this point?
No. No, they may need me to play center. We're at that aspiration point right now. That has been very much a concern, and I think the Nets feel like they've got a handle on it right now. But DeAndre Jordan has announced that he will not be joining the team in Orlando. Spencer Dinwiddie is still trying to figure out physically if he's at a point where he could accompany the team. Wilson Chandler had already come out and said that for family concerns and personal concerns that he would not be going down to Orlando. We know KD and also Kyrie will not be there. So they realize that they're not probably in a position to think about winning a championship, but they have to evaluate talent. They have to evaluate their interim head coach, Jock Vaughn, and they have to figure out who's going to be part of this thing when the smoke clears and KD and Kyrie are finally healthy. What will the supporting cast look like moving forward?
Yep. Wow. Ian Eagle, our guest here on The Fan, Ed Coleman, Dave Sims back together. We'll take you to 7 o'clock tonight. Before we get off the Nets, I wanted to ask you this, Ian. I'm a big Kenny Atkinson fan, always have been.
Yep.
I get it. I know what goes on in the NBA. And, there's a lot of stuff, obviously, that played into this, whatever. But I just thought it was unfortunate that Kenny had it ended the way it did. Let's put it that way. And I hope he can. I think he will get another job at some point, and hopefully that'll work out for him.
Yeah, I think he will. Kenny is a terrific guy, terrific coach, incredible when it comes to developing talent. That's been proven from each stop he's made along the way with the Knicks, with Atlanta, and with the Nets as well. In my sense of it, I don't know everything that went down. I have a feeling that it may have gone something like this when management could not guarantee that Kenny would be back, when some of the rumors maybe started behind the scenes and Kenny sensed that he is not a guarantee to return for 2021. A discussion took place, a legitimate conversation between he and Sean Marks, and maybe ultimately they both came to the determination that if it's not a guarantee, then what are we doing here? And Kenny very well may have said, like, hey, let me go figure this out. If you don't want me, or if you can't tell me definitively that you want me moving forward, then maybe it's best we part ways. And look, I do think Kenny's going to get a job in the NBA. The persona is strong. The respect level is strong around the league. This is a weird time in the league. Normally I would say, wow, there's going to be seven openings. Who knows, based on this restart and what teams are feeling financially. There have been years where many teams have just eaten salary because they can. And this might be one of those off seasons where a team says, maybe not. Maybe we're going to stick with the coach one more year because we still owe him salary. So we'll see moving forward. But Kenny's going to get some chances. I believe that.
Indeed. Ian Eagle joining us here on FAN. Dave Sims at Coleman. NFL, you got a new partner this year, CBS?
I do. Yeah. So 10 years. With Dan Fouts, 10 glorious years. He and I are are about as close as you can get from two broadcast partners from a friendship standpoint. So that will live on forever. I'm bummed that he's not going to be a part of it week in and week out. But Charles Davis has moved from Fox to CBS. Charles and I have become Zoom best friends.
He is one of the good ones. Zoom. He's a good dude.
Man, you're not going to find a nicer human being, and nobody works as hard as he does to prepare for these games. I already knew that before we were paired together. But literally over the last 8 weeks, we've done a Zoom a week. Evan Washburn, our sideline reporters, joined us. Mark Wolf, Bob Fishman, our producer-director, has joined us. So it's been a great way to just get to know one another. And we don't really talk football, to be honest. Probably 90-10 life, 90-10 football, just to get a sense of our backgrounds and our families and what's happening in our respective lives. That, to me, has been even more worthwhile in trying to create some chemistry.
I think it's – listen, I haven't heard you guys together, Ian, but I have all the respect in the world for Charles. I think you guys will be sounding great. I loved you and Dan, and I think you did too, as a matter of fact. But Charles, I think, is superb. I think he's going to – I think you guys will sound great together. It'll be good.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You have absolutely nothing to worry about. I've done a few games with him. I did an Arena Football League playoff game. I did a college hoop game with him, and we talked a lot. And now he's top shelf, man.
That's great.
Ditto Fauci. I did a Pro Bowl with him, and we're to say about the same age, and our reference points. It was scary. And it was like I said something. And he started completing sentences. I was like, "Holy jeez, unbelievable!"
Finishing each other's sentences.
There was a lot of that. A lot of that for us. Just a lot of volleying where I knew I could go places and he would be there right with me. I knew 10 minutes into our first broadcast, and Dave, look, you've worked with a lot of different people. You get a sense of these things. You have a gut feeling. 10 minutes in, I knew it was going to work. We had never worked together. We barely knew one another. And 10 minutes in, I looked over and thought to myself, oh, wow, this has a chance to be really good. Just incredible sense of humor, his insight into the game. And Dan is just one of the best people that I've ever been around, let alone broadcast partners.
I love it when they run his highlights because – you knew he was going to chuck it 40, 50 times a game.
Just sling it. Air Coryell.
That was
put
really
the ball
good.
In the air, no question. Yeah. Hey, Ian, I was just going to ask whether you're confident that the NFL can get through this season at this point.
Yeah, the only problem with coming out and making a definitive statement about it is I don't feel like I have all the information yet. NFL obviously is dealing with a lot of stuff behind the scenes and trying to figure out how they're going to handle this possible situation, that possible situation. Mm-hmm. And look, they're incredibly run. They've been a machine for so many years. So I trust the people that are in these positions, but we just don't know what it is that they have planned. the best part of this for the league has been the fact that they've had time. They've had time while other leagues have not.
Right.
And they've been able to sit back and make some decisions and form some opinions based on what other leagues are doing. Well, now the clock is ticking. We're in July. This is no longer, well, it's 2 months, it's 3 months, it's 4 months from now. It's happening, and they have to make some broad decisions about how they want to play this, whether it's no fans, 33% capacity, 50% capacity. You have 53 players on each team, 10 practice squad members. That's 63 players per team per week that you have to keep an eye on, times 32. You do the math. It's going to be hard for them to monitor every player all the time. And I think that's where the challenges come into play. And hopefully we're going to know within the next few weeks what their timeline looks like, if they're going to continue with the training camp dates, the report dates, and then decisions, as you heard in the update, preseason might not happen this year, where they just decide, hey, well, let's have some scrimmages, let's get some teams together, but let's not chance the spread, certainly for games that don't mean anything.
Yeah, and you mentioned the player personnel, the support personnel is another, 25, 30 people, right?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And the other part, guys, we're seeing this in the NBA. We saw pushback, understandably so. Just because the league decides this and the Players Association decides that doesn't mean that every player is on board. We've seen it in baseball with players opting out. We've seen it in hockey with some players stepping forward with their opinions. We are yet to see that in the NFL because we are yet to hear the plan. Once the plan is announced and every player now can process it, there will be resistance. There will be players that say, you know what? I'm not on board. This does not work for me. It does not work for my family. So we're not even at that point yet where we're going to hear the retort from certain players. So you do have to brace yourself for that as well in the news cycle.
Hey, tell me about your clone, your son, Noah, gets the Clippers jersey.
How great is that? That's great.
I love the pictures of you guys side by side with the identical, same style of glasses and everything. And I was like, wow, that is – and they always talk about the Griffies, but you got to deal with the Eagles now. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. The government has approached me, and they believe there might be some form of cloning. So we're in litigation now. We're going to deal with it. It'll be fine. We have a good lawyer. It's been incredible. For me, that he was interested in even doing this for a living, and B, that he's found success early, and the way he carries himself, the way he treats people, that's been the best part, just getting these reports from people around the NBA that text me or call me and say, oh, my gosh, I met your son. He could not have been a nicer kid. To me, that means so much more than any of the on-air stuff. But my wife and I are really proud of him, really proud of our daughter, Erin. They're both just good young people that have their heads screwed on straight, and hopefully – for him, this is going to be a career that he enjoys for a long time. I know he's having a ball already.
You've done good, kid. You've done good.
That's it. It's what it's all about. And listen, I think he's off to a pretty good start, as a matter of fact, too. And maybe he won't look as much like you as he gets older, too. That's very possible. And let's hope that.
Yeah. Tough room.
Let's hope that.
I mean, look, he's better looking than me right now. But I just said to him, wait. You have no idea how you're going to age.
Hey, Ian, I was talking to Brian Anderson not too long ago and asking him whether he was hesitant about going down to the bubble in the NBA, and he admitted as much that he was. I think anybody would be. What are your thoughts as you enter that or about to head into that?
Yeah, I think there's always concern when it's mysterious, when you don't have anything to fall back on, and there's nothing to compare it to. There's no other playbook to go back to and say, oh yeah, well, they did that back in 92, so you just follow these rules. No, this is unprecedented. Look, I do trust the NBA, and I trust that they're going to keep their people safe and do everything in their power to make sure that people remain healthy. But as we know, this has been a very surreal time, and things that we've come to expect aren't necessarily the reality anymore. So I go down there, if indeed I get the call, with a real sense of anticipation because of the history of it. And from a broadcast standpoint, how's it going to look? How's it going to sound? How's it going to feel? Nobody knows. That's this air of mystery that's surrounding it. All of these sporting events, especially with no fans, as Dave will tell you, and Eddie, from your play-by-play experience, the fans are a compass often when you're calling a game. They're a guide. They're a gauge to know what level you need to get to match the fans, or to try to top it just so you can cut through, or sometimes to say nothing, to just let the fans do the talking for you. And without that in the equation, it's going to be different. It's going to be odd.
It's going to feel like when they bring you in to do an audition, they throw you in a studio and you got to do it off a monitor. I know that's what I'm looking at for road games. I was telling Eddie and the folks in the audience that in Seattle, we're going to be broadcasting from T-Mobile Park. Obviously, the home games, no problem. But road games, we'll have the monitors, and I'll be calling it off the monitors, radio and TV.
Yeah, and I feel in a way that I am somewhat prepared, because just to remind you guys, I did call net games in the mid-90s. There were not a lot of fans.
Good call. Good point.
Yeah. I have experience.
You have that sound. You have the sound of your voice coming back at you, right? A little boomerang action.
I have the boomerang action, and also, and I'm not exaggerating on this, this literally happened many times. I could hear the conversations of the fans sitting behind me in the front row, and we would go to a timeout, and I'd take the headset off, and I would talk to the couple behind me. I'd say, you know what? The Bahamas does sound like a good vacation this winter. You heard that? I was like, yeah, I heard every word. And bring Aunt Ethel. She's a great addition.
Yes, indeed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I'll tell you what, every time I hear your voice, regardless of what you're doing, I think about, this radio station and what it spawned, let's put it that way, over the 30 years or so. It's you're right. It was a great proving ground for a lot of guys over the years. And it's I know I'm proud every time I hear you that, hey, I work with this guy, and he's in this spot at this point in time. It's a good feeling. It really is a good feeling. You know, it really is.
Guys, it means a lot, and it really was. It was really special that time. Now I can look back on it, but I felt it even during that time. I think it's interesting because perspectives will vary. You both had careers before you ever got to FAN. You were both successful in other markets. Obviously, Dave in New York with all the different things you were doing. Eddie in Boston and moving around. And you had an idea of, all right, we'll join this thing, see how it goes. Maybe it goes belly up. Who knows? It's a job. I came in with no experience. I had no frame of reference whatsoever. So all of those experiences that I had in the newsroom and in the control room and in the studio, it was like a blank canvas for me. And it was filling up my chapters in my mental book of broadcasting. Okay, I'll jot this down mentally. That's how you do it. John Clossy and John Minko and Stan Martin and the update guys, when I just wanted to aspire to get on the air. And then the talk side of it with you guys and with Howie and with Steve and with Mike and Chris, it truly was like a master class for me in broadcasting. And I got to learn every day. It was just osmosis. I took it all in. I was a sponge. And I realize now, so many years later, how instrumental it was for me being comfortable in every setting that I was put in from there on out. No matter what the network, no matter if it was local, national, I just always felt confident having come through the WFAN pipeline.
Yeah, and what you just said is what I tell kids all the time. When and Eddie, I'm sure you get this too. Kids write you, hey, critique my tape, what do you think, blah, blah, blah. And what I just said is spot on. And I'm trying to remember, and Eddie, I echo what Eddie says, because I remember I was up in, it was Providence. Was it this past November I saw you in Providence? You were doing an NFL game. I was up to do a Providence hoop game, or maybe it was a year before. It might have been 18.
Yeah, I think it was a year before.
It was a year before. I remember seeing you and the guys up there. So it was great seeing you then. And, hey, man, continued success. Be well, and, stay healthy. Be careful out there, right?
Yeah. Guys, just truly great to hear your voices, and it's been fun listening Throughout the weekend, not just your show, but everybody that's been popping on FAN and bringing back so many fond memories. And thanks for having me, and thanks for letting me do the update.
Well. The update, absolutely. Man, we're going to try to sell that on eBay a little bit later if we can, possibly. I think it's safe to say you were a good read and a quick learner, as a matter of fact. But it's always great here. And say hello to Alyssa for us as well. And
I will.
All right, all the best, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Right.
Hey, good luck. See you down the road. You well.
Yeah, thanks, we'll click elbows. I can't wait.
Yeah, exactly. He is one of a kind, man. He is a tremendous announcer and one of the funniest people that I know of. He is a quick wit.
You know what? He's got
terrific.
That dry sense of humor.
Yes, he
does. You know that.
Yep.
Marv is. You know, we grew up with Marv with that too. And yep. It's very similar. And, of course, his dad, Jack Eagle, is a fine stand-up comic. And brother Dominic, yep. I believe it was, on the old IBM commercials, right?
Yep,
IBM
copies. I think so. Yeah. Yep, I think so. Yeah, now, it's great that, you know, to me, it's great to meet people who've accomplished a lot in this business and still have their head on straight. And,
oh, he does.
You would never, you'd never know. Very unassuming. And he's about as down to earth as you can get. He's the best. Terrific guy. Thanks, Bird. We appreciate that.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.